Welcome to episode 136 of Movies and Meal, a podcast where we talk about movies and other things while we eat. I'm your co-host, Ben, and I'm joined by Keith.
Hey.
And Brad.
What's up?
So, big news to talk about, a lot of movie news to talk about. So, in order of things we are going to review and speak more about, the Oscar nominations came out on Monday, so we're going to kind of just give our general thoughts. Again, we're going to do an official pick episode with our friend Kelly later on in the month or before the Oscars come out. So we'll save our official picks for them, but we're just going to give our general reaction. Then we're going to talk about one of the actual nominees for Best Picture and a couple of the acting categories, Minari. It's a movie we've been talking about for a while. And after that, you know, Marvel didn't really give us too much of a pause. You know, WandaVision wrapped up a couple weeks ago.
They gave us a week in between.
Yeah, they had kind of a featurette, and we are into Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which is the latest from Disney Plus, featuring Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan. But before all that, let's talk about some Oscar stuff. The Oscars are going to come out. The actual award ceremony is on April 25th. Brad's basically going to run down the nominees and some of the major categories. We're not going to get into the technical stuff.
Major categories and categories that we would probably know a lot.
Yeah. And then Keith and I are going to alternate going first on just our general reacts, and Brad will just fact check us and maybe throw in a couple extra things. But Brad, what's our first category?
You know what? Let's start on the animated side. Best animated feature. So the nominees are Onward, Over the Moon, a Shaun the Sheep movie, Farmageddon, Soul, and Wolfwalkers.
Keith, why don't you go first? Because you've seen about four-fifths of these movies.
I have seen four-fifths of them. You know, when I saw Ben the first told me there was a Shaun the Sheep movie, and it didn't ring a bell at first, but I love Aardman animation. They're just silly, claymated movies for kids. And Shaun the Sheep is very sweet. I've seen Soul. I like that a lot. As Ben knows, if anybody listens to us, they know Onward is not a bad movie. It just didn't sit well with me. The themes I didn't appreciate. And Over the Moon is incredibly cute. If I had to handicap this, I think Soul is still the leader. But keep an eye out. There's an oddity in this category all the time. Over the Moon might go into it. And a lot of people like Wolfwalkers. I don't know what that is. But
Yeah, I've seen Soul. I've seen Onward. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's the only two. I was excited. Keith just told me before we started recording that the Sheepwalkers movie is actually on Netflix. So maybe I'll check
Shaun the Sheep.
Shaun the Sheep.
Yeah. I'm not sure where Wolfwalkers is streaming. Okay. It, like I said, people like it a lot, but I don't even know what it's about.
Yeah. But I'm with Keith. I think, you know, Soul has been winning a lot of the awards. People have been quietly saying it's one of the best Pixar movies ever. I would think that Onward has a good chance of winning, Soul has a good chance of winning, and there's another category, I think, later on. I don't know if we'll actually talk about it with original score, where I think there is a pretty strong contender. So,
all right. A couple things. One, looking it up, I believe it's saying Apple TV, so for Wolfwalkers.
Oh, okay, so I can watch it.
Okay, yes, I have that written down here, actually.
Other thing is, between the two of you, there's not been really much in the way of quality animated movies, I guess, but is there any movie that you felt might have been snubbed?
No, I watch a lot of animated movies. There just haven't been a lot this year.
Yeah.
It's partly the pandemic. Oh, you know, I'm a sucker for them. I did go see The Croods, A New Age.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a fun movie. A lot of people like that movie a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's best picture quality, but that's another really good animated movie.
Yeah.
You know, I think the best one I've seen is probably Over the Moon.
Yeah.
It just hasn't been a great year.
Gotcha.
I will say, on a short aside, I think 3D animation is dead because theaters can't gouge people for this anymore. I think 3D animation is finished, and I will be leading the parade. I haven't seen a movie made in 3D in a long time.
The one snub I have listed, and Keith did mention it, The Croods, A New Age, was actually nominated for, I believe, a Golden Globe.
It was a fun little movie. It has a lot of good voices.
So that was the one snub I had listed that did not make it. That was nominated in another. So next up, we'll go ahead and go get the other, not obscure, but lower quality one down. Best Original Song. The nominees are Fight for You from Judas and the Black Messiah, Hear My Voice from Trial of the Chicago 7, Husovic, I'm probably mispronouncing that, but that's from the Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga, Scene from the movie The Life Ahead, and Speak Now from One Night in Miami. So, Ben, I believe you're first on this one.
They're all kind of even to me. I mean, I would think maybe One Night in Miami might be a good one. You know, Leslie Odom is nominated for Best Supporting Actor, I believe, right? Or he has a nomination.
I believe it's Supporting
Actor. But I think he has a better chance of winning in this one. I'm actually just surprised that Audra Day is not nominated for this. I know they had some original songs, but I mean, she got a nice quote consolation prize and a Best Actress nomination.
Is there a particular song you're thinking should have been nominated?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, a lot of times these best original songs are just played over the credits, and like I don't really have any affinity for them. So, but that would be it. But
Keith.
The Eurovision song is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's not great, but that Eurovision movie is surprisingly funny.
Really?
Brace yourself. It is beyond, it's as silly as Will Ferrell can get. But if you want to kill 80 minutes, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I really like that that song from Judas and the Black Messiah by her and others. Mm-hmm. That's the one I know the best. I think that's probably going to win. I like the entire Judas soundtrack quite a bit.
All right, so you're thinking Fight for You. Mm-hmm. Ben, did you say who you thought would...
Is that the Leslie Odom song?
Leslie Odom, that's right.
From One Night in Miami.
Yeah, Speak Now. So
Speak Now, that's the one I would pick.
All right. The one, snubs. Keith, do you have any snubs you're thinking of?
No, I was not really familiar with this category.
Yeah, I know Ben mentioned Audra Day, or Andra. What, I don't know.
Audra.
The one that I did have listed was Tigress and Tweed, which was from the U.S. versus Billie Holiday. So,
there's some good original songs in that. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I thought it would have been nominated for one. You're right.
Right. Next up, we'll go ahead and go with the screenplays. We'll start with the best adapted screenplay. Nominees are Borat, subsequent movie film. I'm not going to go over the whole title. So, The Father, Nomadland, One Night in Miami, and The White Tiger. So, Keith, I believe you...
So, this is adapted screenplay?
This is adapted, yes.
Give me 1 second to catch up here. I apologize.
You're fine.
Let's see.
I think you've seen all the movies.
I have. No, the one movie that's on this list that I have not seen is The Father.
Yeah.
I love Lily Coleman. I love Sir Anthony, but I haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah.
This is a very, very strong category. It kind of offends me that One Night Miami is nominated here, but it was not nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, or anything. Mm-hmm. It is a fantastic script. Nomadland is great. I'll tell you, it's the only nomination I saw for this movie. I think I'm the only one that saw it. The White Tiger is a wickedly funny movie on Netflix. It's a very strong contender. I think as a consolation prize, it will probably be One Night in Miami, but this is a very good category.
Right. Ben, any thoughts?
No, not really. I can see... I don't think White Night in Miami is going to... Right? Is that...
One Night in Miami.
So, it's hard. I mean, No Man's Land could win everything, so yeah. I wouldn't put it past.
It could easily be a six comp sweep.
So, if I had to pick one right now, I would have to say that.
Maybe. I think a dark horse would be, even though I haven't seen it, but I know a lot of people will love the Borat subsequent movie film.
Yeah, that's another one too.
So I think it could be a dark horse in this. Mm-hmm. I've seen One Night in Miami. I know you both love Nomadland, but One Night in Miami was just a blockbuster of a movie. It was a tour de force, so I did really enjoy it. So
Ben and I will get into it later, I think, but it could be a sweep for Nomadland. That would do it.
So, all right. Well, any snubs you feel from them, Ben, Keith?
You know, there's one movie that I love, and the script was just incredible. The Personal History of David Copperfield. Mm-hmm. By the always witty Armando Iannucci and a guy named Simon Blackwell.
Yeah.
It just adapted the David Copperfield story to the modern era. Not modern, but a much more diversified story. And it was just a fantastic, sweet movie.
Okay. All right. Next up is Best Original Screenplay. Nominees, Judas and the Black Messiah, Minari, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal, and The Trial of the Chicago 7. So, Ben, thoughts?
That's a really hard one. That's another really stacked category. I haven't seen Promising Young Woman, but I've actually seen the other four. And it's just like what your taste is. I mean, Aaron Sorkin, if you like real snappy dialogue and everything like that. And Aaron Sorkin's won this before. Sound of Metal is very interesting about how they write it, especially setting up, with a major hurdle for the Riz Ahmed character. Minari and Judas and Black Messiah, those are all just, they're all great. It's really a coin flip. I don't have to make a pick today, and I'm glad I don't, but it's a pretty stacked category.
Yeah. Is there a favorite you're leaning towards right now?
I mean, I guess if I was an odds maker, I would probably say that Sorkin probably has the best odds to win. But I can see any of those winning. I can see Minari winning. I can see Juice. I mean, I could see any of those, really. Maybe if I had to rank them, I would probably put Sound of Metal probably like least likely to win one of these awards. But Promising Young Woman, Minari, Juice, and the Black Messiah, they could all win, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay. Keith?
Yeah, I agree with that. Judas, to me, it's kind of the weak link here. I wish it were a better movie. It's a great story, historical story. Mm-hmm. The script was not great. I got to say, I think Charles Chaplin will win. I'm a little surprised it wasn't nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah.
People like that witty script quite a bit. I think that'll win, but watch out for Minari or Promising Young Woman.
Yeah, I know
for all the major categories.
Wait, did you say it wasn't? It was nominated for Best Picture.
Trial of Chicago 7 was not nominated for Best Picture, was it?
It was. Yep.
I apologize. Well, then that makes it even more likely. I don't know where I got that from. I apologize.
No, you're fine.
But I think that we'll win. But like I said, watch out for Minari and Promising Young Woman.
I know
on the rise.
Yeah, I know you're a big fan of Promising Young Woman. So.
And I did a little research after Ben told me that certain movies were rising, and I think that one is on the way up.
Gotcha. Any snubs that you want to mention? Or you think my... deserve mentioning?
It's what your tastes are. If you like snappy dialogue and the way it goes, I mean, obviously Aaron Sorkin's your guy, but it's like Minari and, you know, even Sound of Metal, they're very kind of quiet movies. You don't think that they're not dialogue heavy, which maybe you would think a screenplay would be. It's more about action and how the characters develop and everything like that.
Well, looking at my notes, there was, I know we did adapt a screenplay already, but there was one movie I did list down that that might have been a snub, and I'm going to get your opinion. And I think it's adapted as a Mank. I don't know if you.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
No one... My opinion of Mank is it doesn't really belong here. But
I got you.
I'm surprised it's not here.
Yeah,
Hollywood loves movies about Hollywood.
Yeah,
this is a good one, not a great one.
Yeah.
I don't think it belongs here, but I'm a little surprised.
It would have been a nice story, you know. Jack Fincher is David Fincher's dad, and he's passed away, and that would have been nice, but. Yeah. You know, I mean, it is what it is. So.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we'll go with the Best Director. The nominees are Thomas Vinterberg from Another Round, David Fincher from Mank, Lee Isaac Chung from Minari, Chloe Zhao from Nomadland, Emerald Fennell from Promising Young Woman.
Is it me?
I believe it's you, Keith. Yep.
This is a strong category. And, you know, like you guys, I'm sure, when this was announced, that who the heck is Thomas Vinterberg? But that movie's on Hulu. And I watched it. And it is nominated for Best Foreign Language Film.
Yeah.
So it is nominated for Best Picture. Shouldn't be that surprised.
Yeah.
I could leave him here. I would take out Fincher. I'm just not real high on Mank.
Yeah.
I would love to see either Regina King or, it was his birthday yesterday, Spike Lee is not on this list anywhere. Mm-hmm. That said, the other three are all solid. And it's the first time ever two women have been nominated.
Yeah.
I'd be very happy if Chloe Zhao swept the thing, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. And Spike Lee for The Five Bloods, right?
Yes.
Okay. Ben, thoughts?
Yeah, it's a tough category. I mean, Fincher, a lot of Hollywood and reviewer types like Fincher. I mean, I like Fincher, and they like Mank. I don't think this is his best work. I don't think he'll win for this. And, you know, kind of a spoiler, I don't think Mank is going to win anything, honestly. Vinterberg is a nice thing, but they always like to throw in a random guy like that. Mm-hmm. A couple years ago, who was that guy? He was a Polish director.
Oh, I can't. He did a movie called Cold War
or
something?
Yeah.
Which my dad really likes, but nobody had seen that.
Yeah. I mean, Lee Isaac Chung, you know, I just listened to an interview with him, and he was one of those guys where he had done a couple movies. He was in Cannes or Sundance a couple years ago. But he was kind of ready to hang it up, and you know, he got funding to do this movie, and look where he is now. So,
and well deserved, I think.
Yeah. And any of those guys, I mean, you know, Chloe Zhao, obviously, that would be where I would probably put my money at. But Emerald Fennell, people seem to like that, and that movie seems to be going up on that a little bit. So,
gotcha.
As far as like people who would be snubbed, I mean. It's tough because there are a lot of small... This Oscars is a very small movie Oscars. There's no 1917 kind of bombastic... Not bombastic, but Dunkirk, where these, like, vistas and everything like that. You know, sprawling war epics or that kind of thing. So there are a lot of smaller, other movies that it would have been nice to have given them some credit. You know, I champion like Never Rarely, Sometimes Always, and those people.
First Cow.
Yeah,
like,
First Cow.
Before we go into snubs, I know you were talking about the Polish director who was nominated a couple years ago. His name is, and I probably might butcher this, so forgive me, Paweł Pawlowicki.
Sure. I'm sure that's close.
Yeah, so. and secondly, I know Keith mentioned some snubs. I know Regina King was mentioned for One Night in Miami, Spike Lee for Five Bloods.
And then I was going to say Elijah Hittman, she's Never Rarely, Sometimes Always.
Okay, gotcha. And one I did write down, and I don't know how you feel about it, would be Aaron Sorkin, Trial of Chicago 7.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't get a nomination. So. But whatever, I mean, it's a stacked category, and you can only pick five. Yeah. So, and I'd rather... Honestly, you know, it's nice to seeing multiple women in there, and it's nice to seeing some minorities in there as well. So
next up, we'll do Best Supporting Actor. Nominees are Sacha Baron Cohen for Trial of the Chicago 7, Daniel Kaluuya for Judas and the Black Messiah. I said I'd probably get one, Ben.
Sure,
so. Leslie Odom Jr., One Night in Miami, Paul Racy for Sound of Metal, and Lakeith Stanfield for Judas and the Black Messiah. Ben?
It's a pretty stacked category. I think the odds are that people seem to like, or the pundits seem to think Daniel Kaluuya is probably the front runner for this. Sacha Baron Cohen is good. I wouldn't be surprised if he won, but I wouldn't put my money on him. Paul Racy, it's kind of a career achievement for him. He's been a theater actor for a long time. This is a fantastic role. The more I think about it, I mean, he's really going head-to-head with Riz Ahmed as far as, like, the best performance in that movie.
Yeah.
And he makes that movie. Lakeith Stanfield is kind of an odd thing because he really should be nominated for Best Actor because I think he has the most playing time in that movie. But also, that might be a little political thing of which, you know, not to jump ahead, but Chadwick Boseman pretty much has that thing locked up. So... You know, it's nice to have at least some other people give him another shot, some more recognition. So maybe that's where he ended up. So, and Leslie Odom Jr., it's good. That movie should have been nominated for more things. I don't think he's going to win for this, though.
No. Keith?
Yeah, you know, Lakeith Stanfield was marketed by the movie as a best actor, not best supporting actor. But these Oscar voters do whatever they want. You know, Ben's right. This is a very strong category. My heart is with Paul Racy. I've said it before. It's my favorite movie of the year. I don't think that Keith Stanfield and Kaluuya are going to part, really cancel each other out. But I do think, I do think that Sacha Baron Cohen will rise to the top. People like the Chicago 7 a lot. I like it.
Yeah, I do too.
It'll be a surprise. I think Kaluuya should be the favorite.
Yeah.
But I think Sacha Baron Cohen might pull it out.
There's always one. Between the four acting categories, there's always one that they just kind of come out of left field. So maybe it'll be that one. So,
any thoughts on snubs? Ben, I guess as we start with you, any snubs that you think about supporting?
It's hard. There are a lot of good people. I mean, we talked about... Kingsley Benadire, right? For One Night in Miami.
Yeah.
You know, for Malcolm X, I think that was a pretty solid performance. And, you know, I mean, it's hard just because we've seen a lot of movies, a lot of people deserve to be nominated. And quite frankly, because of the extended period, they've all become jumbled to me. So, you know, it's just the ones that are front of mind.
Keith?
You know, people get down on child actors, but I'll tell you, I love Minari. Mm-hmm. Alan Kim, as the kid, he is so good.
That's one name that I haven't seen a lot.
He's very challenging to, you know, he doesn't just play a straightforward child's role, and we'll talk about it later. It's a very complicated role, and he's very good in that.
Okay. Mm. All right. I went back and looked at the other two, I guess you could maybe consider major awards shows, and... Some of the ones that were nominated for SAGs and Golden Globes that did not get a nomination from Oscars was the... I just want your thoughts on them real quick. Chadwick Boseman for The Five Bloods. I think we know why he's not on here.
Yeah.
So. Jared Leto for The Little Things.
No.
I didn't see it, but no.
No. Yeah. No.
Ben's pretty adamant. So the last one is Bill Murray for On the Rocks.
He's very good, but he's playing Bill Murray.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's playing himself. He's playing a cad.
Yeah.
I like that movie a lot. I think a little more. Ben liked it too. I think I liked it a little more, but no. It's just not on that caliber.
He's good, but he doesn't replace any of the people that were nominated officially. So.
Okay. Gotcha. Because I guess that would be my next step is if you think somebody was snubbed, who do you think would come off, I guess?
I would take Lakeith Stanfield off because he doesn't belong in this category.
Yeah.
And I'd put Alan Kim in there.
Yeah. Gotcha. So, all right. Next up would be Best Supporting Actress. The nominees are Maria Bakalova for Borat Subsequent Movie. Glenn Close for Hillbilly Elegy, which I think Ben's got an interesting stat behind it. He might have mentioned it in the past. But
do I? Okay, sure.
You've mentioned it before. I'll remind you. Okay. So Olivia Colman for The Father, Amanda Seyfried for Mank, and Yoon Ho-jung from Minari. So, Ben? Or actually, Keith, I believe, right?
Well, yes. I've only seen two of these. Yep. I've only seen Mank and Minari.
Yeah.
If Mank wins anything, I think Amanda Seyfried was very, very good.
Yeah.
I would put her number two, though, behind Yoo Hong Jun. I wanted to say to pronounce it. I don't know. Yeah. No, Yoo Jung Hoon. Sorry. I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah, it's...
She's the grandmother in Minari, and we'll get into it later. She is fantastic. Yeah. She brings that movie to life.
Yeah.
She's a legend. I didn't know this going in, but she's a legendary Korean actress, and she really deserves to win this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably the proper way would be Yoon Jung Yoo.
It's a Korean way, right? Yeah. And the English way.
They have it listed, at least on Wikipedia, as Yoon Ho Jung. And I don't. Did we ever look up the Oscar?
I think the way I had it written down was the way, which is the flip way was
Yoon Jung Yoo.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so, Keith, you're thinking Yoon Jun.
She should win. I think she will win. I also like Amanda Seyfried quite a bit.
Gotcha. Ben?
I think it's one of those things that Glenn Close, who's like been nominated a jillion times, and the Academy has a history of recognizing people for their worst performance as just a career achievement. Mm-hmm. And Glenn Close came close a couple years ago until, she was upset by another nominee in this category, Olivia Colman. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to happen again. I don't think that Olivia Colman's going to do it. If I was an odd maker, I would probably set her odds pretty solid for Glenn Close to win.
Yep.
But this is also one of those wild card things, and I can see, Maria Bakalova winning. I could see Yoon Jun winning, but, I haven't seen Hillbilly Elegy. It's on Netflix. It's a tough one. This is the most wild card-y category, I think, where, like, anything could happen.
The stat I was referencing earlier was, and you've mentioned it to me, Glenn Close is the first that's nominated for both an Oscar and a Razzie.
Well, she's the third person.
She's the third person.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a possibility, would she be the first to win both?
I don't know who, I don't think the other two people
won the Oscar.
It was Amy Irving and then some other guy from a movie I've never heard of. Yeah. It was like in the late 70s, early 80s. I don't know I didn't actually see if they won.
Let's head for the snubs now for supporting actress. We started with Keith, I believe, right?
Yeah, let's see. I don't have any snubs here. Okay. I think they got it right.
All right.
I can't support Hillbilly Elegy, but I didn't see the movie, so I can't discredit either.
Gotcha. Ben?
I feel the same way. I mean, I guess maybe if you want to throw in Amy Adams, because I just think Amy Adams should just win an Oscar sometime. We can do that. It's tough. Again, a lot of these movies. You know what? I'm gonna just throw in a plug for Dominique Fishback for Judas and the Black Messiah. I thought she should have won. I listened to an interview with Shaka King and the actual woman, Deborah Johnson. I think she has a different name now, who was the actual person who was Fred Hampton's, I guess, partner at the time. Mm-hmm. They were never married. And she said that Dominique Fishback did a great job, so I'm going to believe her. I would just give a nod to Dominique Fishback. I know she's going to be... I think she's signed up to do something else pretty soon, but I would just give her a nod. Okay.
Some other ones that were nominated for either a SAG or a Golden Globe were Helena Zengel for News of the World.
Okay.
And the other one was Jodie Foster for The Mauritanian.
I haven't seen that, but a lot of people are big on that movie.
Yeah. I like that, but Jodie Foster's one. I mean, she's got
And she actually won, didn't she?
Was she won Golden Globe.
Golden Globe,
That's where she famously shouted out Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. Yeah, so. All right, next up we'll go for Best Lead Actor. The nominees are Riz Ahmed for Sound of Metal, Chadwick Boseman for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Anthony Hopkins for the father. Excuse me, Sir Anthony Hopkins for the father. Make sure I get it right. Gary Oldman for Mank. And Stephen Wen, I'm sorry, Yoon. Stephen Yoon for Minari.
No, I think it's actually Yun, like fun.
All right, so Ben, you're up for this one.
Well, unless something really effed up happens, this is like the most stone cold, lockiest lock of them all. I think Chadwick Boseman's going to win for this. I've heard some really good things about Anthony Hopkins. I've heard a lot of people say maybe if it wasn't Chadwick, it would be him. It's not a very strong category. I think Gary Oldman is the weakest one of all of it, actually. I just, performances that I personally, it was fine. But again, Gary Oldman's a great actor, but he's got one. We'll talk about it more about Stephen Yeun's performance, because it's a different kind of performance than you would think some of these other folks do, you know, something sort of like what Chadwick does in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom or Riz Ahmed. But, you know, it's a pretty solid category. If Chadwick doesn't win, just for a lot of things, I might just drive over to the Kodak Theater and start yelling at somebody. So,
well, as Ben has said, they do one crazy thing. And this won't be it, though. It's going to be Chadwick. I got to say, I haven't seen Father either. I would take Gary Oldman out of this. He's just being Gary Oldman and yelling a lot. I was not that impressed. Delroy Lindo should be on this list. I know we haven't gotten snubs yet, but yeah. I'm going to say it again. It was Spike Lee's birthday yesterday, and they did not give this movie any nominations. I'm so angry. But anyway, I'm excited for that. It's a solid list.
Best original.
And Chadwick's going to win it.
Yeah. So, Ben, we'll actually start with you.
Definitely Delroy Lindo, yep. I would think, for sure. You could throw in one of the guys from One Night in Miami.
I would have put Kingsley Benadire as a lead actor. Yeah. I would put him in here. Yeah. He was so good.
Yeah.
But, for the most part, they got it right. I'll just say that. So.
Gotcha. All
right. And pioneering, Riz Ahmed is the first Muslim to ever be nominated for Best Actor. Okay. So, there you go.
I know you mentioned Delroy Lindo.
Stephen Fung is the first Asian-American person to be nominated for
that. So, there you go. Some history here. Keith, I know you mentioned Delroy Lindo already. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody else you think got snubbed?
No, that was the big one, and it just really grated with me.
I would also throw in Jim Carrey for Sonic the Hedgehog.
There you go.
And
Will Smith for Bad Boys for Life.
Yeah, he was a support. He was the main actor. For that.
So there you go. Anyway, one movie or one actor that was nominated for a SAG or Golden Globe that was not nominated was Tahir Rahim for The Mauritanian. Mm. So next one. Best Lead Actress, and I believe this is probably going to be the most competitive one of the group, so that's why I saved it for next to last. But Best Lead Actress, Viola Davis, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Andra Day
for The United States versus Billie Holiday. Vanessa Kirby for Pieces of a Woman. Frances McDormand for Nomadland. And Carey Mulligan for A Promising Young Woman. So I believe, Keith, you get to start on this one.
All right. Well, as you guys know, my heart is with Carey Mulligan. I just love that movie. This is a very, very strong category. I haven't seen Pieces of a Woman. I'm a little surprised that Andra Day was nominated, but she's sensational. You know, the Globes obviously lifted her. And Viola Davis is great. Nobody in here is whack. I think that Frances McDormand is a front runner by a wide margin, but Carey Mulligan is rising.
Yeah.
And I'd be happy if either one won.
Yeah.
I think that gap is closed. I think it really is a two-horse race between McDormand and Carey Mulligan. Andra Day, I'm surprised that she got nominated, but you know, her work in the Golden Globe and the Golden Globe win kind of cements that. I don't think she's going to win, but it's nice that she got nominated for that. Same thing with Vanessa Kirby, and Viola Davis is good, but I think it really is between Carey Mulligan and Frances McDormand. Carey Mulligan is really coming up on that rearview mirror for Frances McDormand. Not that Frances McDormand needs one; she already has two. Viola Davis has one, so. It's not a big thing, and people like Carey Mulligan.
Yeah. Strong category, so I don't know if there would be any. But Keith, any snubs you want to mention, or any mention any
you know,
any actresses?
I am big on I'm big on Minari. Yeri Hahn was very good.
Mm-hmm.
It was like Ben said with Stephen Yeun's performance. It's a very delicate performance. It's not a large performance. I wouldn't take anybody off this list though. So
that's what I was thinking. Ben. Any
thoughts? I wrote for this movie all last year, and I think it would have been nice. You know, Sydney Flanagan for Never Rarely, Sometimes Always, especially for someone who like Audra Day basically had never acted before, and to get the performance that you get in that movie, it's pretty remarkable. Mm-hmm. So I would probably, you know, just at least give her a shout out. So
okay. I'm with Ben, but the problem with that with this year is, as he said, they're all small movies.
Yeah.
So the smallest movies got, you know, yeah. Normally they might have sneaked in, but not this year. Yeah. You know?
One movie that or one actress that was nominated for another award that did not get a nomination was Amy Adams for Hillbilly Elegy. So.
I mean, she's good. I mean, it's a miracle that movie got one nomination for Glenn Close. So yeah. It to two is it's a stretch.
So you're saying it probably should not be nominated for Best Picture is what you're saying.
No.
Another one that that I did see and some of the research I've done was Rosamund Pike for I Care a Lot.
I saw that. It's a good comedic performance. It's not great. And I like comedic performances can be Oscar worthy, but yeah. She's really just kind of Rosamund Pike in that, and she's very good, but no.
Gotcha. All right, final nomination of that we will be doing is Best Picture. So nominees are Sound of Metal, Mank, Minari, Promising Young Woman, The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, The Trial of the Chicago 7, and Nomadland. So I believe, Ben, you are up.
Mm-hmm. This is a tough one. And, you know, in years past, we have had these... We've had the feel, and we've had a couple of strong contenders that kind of popped up. This one, it feels a little bit closer than you think. I would probably, if I had to rank, and we're not doing our picks right now, but yeah. I think least to most likely to win, a Mank would be, I think, probably least likely to win. Mm-hmm. And then The Father, and then Sound of Metal. And then you really have a kind of a glut, really. I wouldn't be surprised if any of those movies, Judas and the Black Messiah, Nomadland, of course, has been the front runner, and for good reason. Promising Young Woman, there's a chance, but I think if that movie's going to win anything, it's going to be Carey Mulligan. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be for Best Picture. Mm-hmm. And The Sound of Metal is another very, very good movie. But Chloe, this happens more with... I feel like the Grammys, but I always picture those photos when, like, your Taylor Swifts or whatever, they, like, went, like, multiple Grammys, and they just have a whole handful. And, like, I can imagine Chloe Zhao being the same way with, like, a whole handful of Oscars. So, it's a very solid category.
All right. Keith?
I think Ben's got it pretty much right. You know, I originally thought Mank was... going to rise above, but I've been reading more, and I'm happy that it's falling below. It's not a terrible movie, but it is the weakest movie here. Mm-hmm. Trial of Chicago 7 is very good, very witty, but I think the three leaders are Minari, Nomadland, and Promising Young Woman. I'd be very happy if either of those won. You know, Sound of Metal was my favorite movie of the year, mm-hmm. and Promising Young Woman was my third favorite. That hasn't changed. But like Ben said, Promising Woman has a real edge to it. It's really, really a little uncomfortable for Best Picture. Mm-hmm. I can't see it happening. So it's probably going to be Nomadland. Can I go into snubs a little bit?
Yeah, snubs. I was getting ready to go into snubs. Do you want to, since we go with Ben first, let's go with Ben real quick first.
I'm definitely going to shout out one that Keith was going to say, but, you know, I am really surprised that Ma Rainey's Black Bottom and One Night in Miami were not nominated. Mm-hmm. I guess Judas and the Black Messiah maybe took one of their spots or both of them. Considering the hype and everything like that, and unlike Mank, where I feel like critics are really divided between people who really like that film and people who are like, ah, it's all right. I mean, most people more than not like both of those movies. And maybe it's the play aspect part, you know, and... that it was, especially with Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, it kind of felt slightly like a slightly elevated play. I'm just surprised that those two weren't picked. So, mm-hmm. and because you have 10 slots, we did not have 10 nominees. So.
That's right.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. I didn't know. I thought it was 10, and we had 8. So,
Well, it's maximum of 10. Yeah. But how lazy do you have to be and still be allowed to vote?
Why not just nominate 10? I don't understand.
You do not want to recognize your fellow artists. Mm-hmm. You know.
All right, Keith.
Ben is definitely right with those. I would put both of those in there. I would take Mank out.
Yeah.
So that gives you 3 slots. You would put in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, One Night Miami, and Defy Bloods. Mm-hmm. I love Defy Bloods. Spike Lee never gets the recognition he deserves.
Yeah.
It's a whale of a
movie. I wonder if this, you know, we talked about this when we reviewed it, but I wonder if Defy Bloods suffered because it was released in June, and that feels like 3 years ago. It doesn't, yeah. And it's, that was a long, you know, traditionally, a lot of these prestige movies, the window is like November, December. Yeah. But that came out a long time ago.
And it seems like even more than some of these, even more a straight to stream. It was obviously. Some of these had a little theatrical run.
Yeah.
You know, they also came later, you're right. But One Night in Miami is the amazing one.
I mean, I can understand with the nominations, you can nominate up to 10. And sometimes on a normal year, you might not have 10. And that's fine to nominate 7 if you want, if you feel like it. But we definitely have more than enough to fill out the 10 without being like, oh, that was a stretch. Like, how did that get in?
And I'm glad you kind of mentioned that, Ben, because I actually had a question leading into that. Because it's sort of like an expounded...
I think this is, 4 or 5 years ago? Longer than that.
Yes.
Because they've kind of expounded because we're almost like 2 years worth of movies into one... 1 year worth of Oscars or just one show with like 2 years worth of movies. Do you think maybe it probably hurt some of the movies that came out earlier in the year? And if so, do you think maybe, I know they expanded the Best Picture a few years back. Do you think maybe just for this year they could have expanded some of the more major honors like the actors and actresses honors or
I think 5 is still enough.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is definitely kind of extenuating circumstances. I mean, hopefully this kind of circumstance with the pandemic doesn't happen again next year or in future Oscar years, so we'll see.
Best Picture is a different animal. Yeah. You need to recognize more than 5 movies as the Best Picture nominees.
Yeah. Yeah,
acting is a more refined category.
Okay.
I'm with Ben.
Okay. I figured I want to ask that because I know we had...
And we talked about this before. I mean, before, it would be nice if you could maybe have a young...
Or rookie.
Rookie of the year type award or except, you know, not promising young woman, but promising, you know, most promising director or something like that. You know, you would say... Mm-hmm. You must have like less than like 3 features under your belt or something like that because you know we saw a lot of movies. Keith and I saw a lot of movies from people that are just coming out. They're incredibly that show incredible promise. You know, we talked about Cooper Rath for Shit House. You know, that was a great first movie.
Rada Blank for 40-year-old version.
Yeah, yeah. Shaka King and there's a couple. I mean. Isaac Lee Chung, I think, actually probably wouldn't qualify because he's had a couple more movies under his
belt. Have you seen any of his movies? I hadn't before this.
No, we'll talk about that maybe or maybe not.
Well, I believe Keith mentioned 40-year-old version, and I did see there was a couple lists of maybe snubs from 40-year-old version, so...
I love that movie. It was my two movie of the year. I wouldn't call it a snub. It's a very unique comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really offend me that they get nominated for Best Picture.
Okay. No,
I would have seen. Yeah. I would like to see some more nominations for Rada Blank, either writing or something.
Yeah.
The movies that I liked, they were really truly indie. I don't know if they would have risen like Never Rarely, Sometimes Always. You know, now that my brain is warmed up a little bit, you know, The Assistant, I think maybe would have been with what was her name? She's in Ozark. She just won. A bunch of stuff, but the main person in that movie, she would be good. She would be a good kind of alternate for best actress.
Yeah. Well, do you think if it was in a normal like 1 year slot, do you think some of these I don't want to say indie movies, and I don't really want to say lesser known movies either, but some of the movies that would be on the fringe, do you think they might get more recognition if it was just a solo year than a 2 year process?
Well, it's kind of funny that. Like, for me personally, the pandemic and the lack of blockbusters actually allowed me to watch more indie movies.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they all got squeezed out because some of the bigger movies got held over or pushed back. And, you know, we're not even talking about prestige movies that we thought might be racking up some awards, like Dune. In a regular year, like Dune or West Side Story, those probably might have at least been in the talk to get some award consideration, but yeah, were held back. So
gotcha.
We've actually had a pretty robust Oscar talk, even before our predictions episode. So robust that I think the other things that we teased, we're going to split that off into a separate episode, just, you know, for everyone's sake. So you're listening to this. It's going to come out. This episode is going to come out today on Sunday, March 21st. And then we're going to talk about Minari in the first episode of Winter Soldier. And that's going to come out on the 28th. So there will be another episode of Winter Soldier. And we'll have seen some other stuff. But it's probably just best that we bring out the Oscar talk. But we will wrap up with our question of the week. And, you know, Oscars...
I really think we need a sound drop for that, too.
Yeah.
So.
The Oscars... We have a lot of Oscar talk, and I was just curious to see for these guys, like, if you could win any award, and you know, when I listed it on our little outline there, I mean, it could be anything. If you want to win an Oscar or a Tony, if you wanted to win, like, Brad, if your dream was to be NFL Executive of the Year, GM, then, like, yeah. What was the one award that you'd want to win? Brad, why don't we start with you?
Well, I've already won an award. I won a medal for a belly flop contest on the cruise ship. So.
Brad, if that is your goal in life, then you've reached it.
I'm not saying my goal. I'm just saying I have won some stuff already. But I guess in all honesty, I'm not really an individual award person. I'm more of a team person. I love the team effect. So,
if you want to win a championship, that's cool. We've won a championship.
Yeah, so like we've won a championship. You're right. But I'd say like a pro football or soccer or even baseball, I guess, like championship. So I guess like Vince Lombardi Trophy or the Champions.
So if you were like on the staff of the Washington football team or the Orioles, you know, you want to get a championship ring or something.
I'm a long snapper for the Washington football team or something. Okay. Come on, let's be honest. I'm not gonna be
hey,
a key.
Nick Sundberg, they didn't sign Nick Sundberg. So there's a hole there that needs to be filled.
We're dreaming here, Brad.
Yeah. So, like I said, I mean individual awards are fun, but I'm more of a team person, so.
But come on, Brad. There's gotta be at least something you wouldn't mind. This is what Keith said. This is imaginary. You can win anything you like. Gamers the year, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the winner of the year. That's if I win a Vince Lombardi Trophy, that'd be plenty.
You want a championship ring?
Yeah, I just have a ring and just be recognized as the best on the best team. Right. So
you'll be you could be Ron Rivera's get back coach for Washington's championship run in 2021.
Hey, as long as our team wins, so it's all about that team, baby. So all
right. Keith, what do you think?
Well, I'll pick one of each. You know, I've always wanted to be able to write a screenplay, but I've never been able to do it. Mm-hmm. I'd love to win adapted screenplay, to pick up one of my favorite novels. I don't know if I could pick one, but I'd love to pick a favorite novel and win an Oscar for that. That would just be great. I'm not saying I could do it, where we're dreaming.
Yeah.
And I'd like to manage my Arsenal team to a title. That's not going to happen.
List your three favorite novels that you would like to adapt to a screenplay.
Salvage the Bones is the first one.
Uh-huh.
And right now we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Because you got me on the spot here.
the Bible?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So. Now, wait a minute. Didn't they do that with the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston? Or?
You can always do it again. You can adapt it again.
Yeah. So. All right. Ben, what about you?
For me, I mean, I would like to win an Oscar. I think that's just cool.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be in an acting category, so I think it would be like for Keith, I think it would probably either adapted or original screenplay. I think that's probably like the most realistic of all the imaginary things.
I don't know. I think you could do sound editing. So
I don't know. I always, like, one of the other weird kind of dream jobs, I wouldn't mind being, like, music supervisor, people that picks the music out. So maybe, like, original score or
I can see that.
Best song or something like that. But
well, I threw Keith on the spot. Let me throw you on the spot. If you could choose an adapted screenplay of three books or novels you've read, which ones would you think you want to do?
Puppies Are Like That. That's one of my favorite kids' books. No, I'm just kidding. Puppies Are Like That. It's probably my favorite kids' book.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh.
So you make it like an animated short.
No. Well, you know, and short film, and you know, there are a lot of famous people that we'd like that have won for short film, including one of Keith's favorite, Peter Capaldi.
Mm-hmm.
Who have been nominated? Like Brad, one of your favorite people, William Zabka.
Yeah.
He was nominated for an Oscar. So I think individually, Oscar. I mean, if you guys want to go on the title talk, I mean, it would be nice to see the Orioles. I wouldn't mind like being on the.
Yeah.
You know, again, bench coach. Or even in a realistic thing, like on the PR staff of the Orioles or something like that.
Staff get a ring or anything?
They do.
Okay. Oh, sure. They do. Everybody does.
I wasn't sure. Yeah. So. Yeah. Oh, and since you mentioned William Zabka.
Trying to strip my title? What are you trying to
do? I'm not trying to strip it. I'm just, since you mentioned William Zabka, the other one I would think would be the All Valley High Karate Champion.
Okay. I respect that. I respect that.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah. Keith is silent. All right. So,
because I mean, you know, most of the sports teams I follow, they have at least won a title. A lot of them haven't been. I think Washington's the only one probably in like my sports following lifetime that I've seen. The Penguins. Penguins have won it like three times. So that would be me.
The older, I can barely remember the last Orioles World Series, and it was
83. Yeah, 83.
Wasn't even born yet. Yeah. So,
all right, so we're going to wrap this episode up. We're going to split Minari. If you're looking, I'm sorry if you had your hopes up for. I know we teased the Minari thing and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
You just listen to it, but you just have to wait a week.
Guess who rambled to make this thing go longer?
No. It would have been a 2-hour podcast, and I don't want to have to edit 2 hours. So, but why don't we wrap up this episode? It's 1:36 of Movies and Mail. So for this episode, I'm Ben
and Keith. It's Brad. Peace.
All right. See you.